on doing that.
Hello and welcome to a new episode of Foodocracy for Her. I'm your host, Kalyan Karmakar. And Foodocracy for Her is India's longest running and happy to say award-winning podcast focusing on women in the food and beverage industry. As you can see, the format today is a bit different from what we are used to. We've got five people on screen, four of them joining us, and the second male person on Foodocracy for Her, which is my friend Anindo from Calcutta. But it's a rather somber occasion. We are actually going to be talking about someone who's not with us, and probably should have been, one of the first people to be interviewed. But since we didn't have that opportunity, we thought that at least through this, let's try to share some of her our memories of her. And I'm talking of the late Pia Promina Dasgupta Barve. I think it's still not registered to use the word late. She passed away on the 21st of July, 2022, Thursday night. I mean, a lot of us got the message, Friday late night, Friday morning, and there was a complete shock, among all of us who were connected with her, either directly, indirectly, or had heard of her. So I will not even attempt to do a biography of Pia, because Pia's been into food, was baking since before anyone on this screen was born. I'm probably the oldest here, or maybe whatever. But she was into baking way before any of us was born. I'm going to hyperlink an article by Pita Sen in the Telegraph, which is a very nice sort of coverage of what she's done. So, from baking at a very early age to setting up a catering company with her father, and which led to the restaurant QP's in Calcutta, QP in Calcutta, which is like this landmark place for Bengali food. She moved to Mumbai, and where even four decades back, she was one of the earliest women to work in the meat packaging industry. So imagine. Then she's also worked with MAFCO, which is the government, Maharashtra government organization. So not only with meats, but with fruits and produce. I know she would often talk to me about Alfonso mangoes and cashews. Then she had her own bakery, and she worked with top-end modern superstores, modern retail like Nature's Basket, for example. She was one of the pioneers in terms of both what we call home chefs now, as well as pop-up dining supper, supper clubs. And well into her 70s, she continued working, and her love to feed, her love to talk about food, her love to answer questions is something which we'll probably try to share with you through our individual memories of that. So I'm going to quickly share my memories of her and then introduce the panel. And we've got people from Mumbai and Kolkata joining us today. Again, this is not representative of all the lives she's touched, but that's impossible. But I thought that, this would be a great way. So my first encounter with Pia, because, and anyone here will agree that you don't meet Pia, you don't come across Pia, you encounter Pia. So I remember I was at this, food exhibition at the place in Goregaon in Mumbai, whatever it's called, MAFCO or something. There's a thing for exhibitions, and I'd gone there to moderate a panel for Saurish Bhattacharya, who was the organizer. I think it's called Ashivad or something. So we'd finished, and suddenly we saw this smiling lady, roly-poly lady in a cotton sort of shirt and pants, and wearing a topi, so almost like a Japanese tourist minus the camera, unless she was carrying a camera. But she came up and sort of introduced herself to Saurish and me, and then when she found out that I live in Bandra, she said, "You must come to my bakery. So a week later, I went to a bakery in Bazaar Road, and you know, just by Jeff's, where one would go to buy the kebabs, or there was a fruit wall over there. And then I went into a bakery, and you know, there was just a door, and once you open the door and you go in, you will not believe the world which you'd left outside. You know, a busy Bandra inner road, and you walk in, and there's this serene sort of bakery, and there were one or two women working there with her, and she was, you've heard of the expression like a child in a candy shop. So, she was like that, but it was her own candy shop. So she was excited me, showing me the biscuits she makes. And there was a birthday home she was catering for the next day for kids. And she was showing me the different sandwiches, the different ideas, and this was like maybe 10 years back, rolled up jam sandwiches. And it was for a vegetarian client. So she was telling me what her different ideas were and all of that. And I'm stressing on vegetarian because she's Bengali. And she's lived in Mumbai for 4 decades, seen herself, considers herself as a Calcutta girl right till the end. And of course, since then, we've had many interactions at conferences. I've been a guest at her house. Often she's, come up with things and sent it home. And, before the thing has come, I get a call from her. Acha, theek kar chobi tul di, like, take a picture properly. Actually, she would speak to me in English. That's the thing about her, that she was in a world which was completely different from the world she was used to, given the fact that she was probably 3 decades elder than all of us. But yet, she had this childlike enthusiasm to find her place in this world. So she had no hang-ups, like, for example, to send something and say that, okay, take its picture, because she knew that, okay, Instagram is important. So, these are my nephews and nieces, and I can tell them to do anything and stuff like that. But the reason for doing this Adda today is that probably my biggest memory of Pia is of her drawing room, of her house in Bandra, very close to where I stay. And I remember the first time I'd gone there when she invited me, it was just a casual lunch. A casual lunch in Pia's house has 72 dishes, but it was, shukto with lau, and there was ilishmach, and there was dal, and this, that. But the moment I walked into in her house, and those of you who've had the privilege of doing that, it struck me like I was away from Mumbai, I was away from Bandra, and I was in a house in maybe South Calcutta, as I remembered it, the Jodhpur Park, or Balian Circular Road, the slightly posher parts of the slightly more Bondel Road, some of the slightly more upmarket Bengali parts of South Calcutta. And since then, I have been to her house for so many meals, but which are actually addas, and every time I would meet different people who are of different age group, from different communities, sometimes different countries. And that is what a Bengali Adda is all about. So while I regret Pia not being able to be in touch with you in these, the last 2-3 months, but I thought that an Adda is the best way to remember you. And I've got some of your favorite people from your world over here. I'm going to quickly introduce them and then let them do the talking. On the top left of my screen is Reshmi Kurian. She's the only non-foodocracy for her alumni over here. I have known her from the early days of my food blogging. She's a design professional. She was one of the earlier food bloggers in Mumbai, and then wrote a blog called Bombay Chow Party. And then she was and is majorly into baking, and Kainaz and I still fondly remember her, including when we were in Paris and had the babka by the French bastards, which is the name of the place. We don't swear on this show. That Reshmi had made a babka for us. We connected again through our cats. She is a cat parent earlier than I am, and she and her husband now work, on his film production company. But she's one of the many who've interacted with Pia without ever having met her. And we're going to get to know a bit about that side from Reshmi. Reshmi will have to drop off a bit earlier, so I'm going to ask her first. And then on to the right of my screen, assuming that's how you're going to see it, is Tara Deshpande. I've known her first on the screens when I was new to Mumbai, but now she's a very dear friend. Apart from being an actress, she's a food writer. She's written not three, as she corrected me. She's written four books. It's tough to keep count of her, but she's extremely curious about the world of food, extremely loving about the world of food, and loves to sort of share and support. Like whenever I've done something, reached out to her, she's been there, be it articles or events. She's worked very closely with Pia as they're both members of Bombay Gym and in terms of putting events together. So we're going to hear a bit from Tara as to how it is to work with Pia together. I have a feeling that she might have been a bit of a tornado. So we get that. On the left of the bottom screen is Madhushri and Anindo, husband-wife duo behind the brand Picture Nama. So Madhushri is a foodocracy for her veteran from the time when it was Instagram Live, and she waited patiently once when I walked across the house waiting for Wi-Fi signal. Anindo has been wanting to come on foodocracy for her for a very long time, and he's absolutely metrosexual, as an always to say. So I thought this was a good opportunity, but
see, very rarely a man can speak about gender bias gender bias in your show for a long period of time.
But my show is that.
I will start an andolon. If all the Bengali listeners would understand that, what does the revolution mean?
Andolon is Hindi only. Andolan.
Yeah.
It's like
Sanjay Dutt started movie.
Yeah. So, but jokes apart, Madhushri and Anindo have been working very closely with Pia right up to her last days on a very special project. And I thought that's, and I didn't know that. I mean, it's how, you know, Providence, I mean, I just reached out to them and they said yes. So we are going to hopefully to them know what was in her mind over the last few months. And finally, last but not least is Manzilat Fatima. She's known as many things, the biryani queen, begum, all of that. To me, she's a dear friend who cooks fabulous biryani and loves to feed us. And like all my friends over here, she'll always be in touch and check, you know, how I am, how the family is. Mom talks very highly of her, says she's a very cultured person. She's foodocracy for her veteran. She was a school's champion in billiards. She's run a business in textile. Her family legacy, she belongs to the family of Nawaz Wajid Ali Shah, which she decided to take forward, and which has taken the form of the lovely enterprise called Manzilats. And she's actually worked with Pia, and she's one of the many sort of food entrepreneurs in the current age whom Pia has stood by. So she's going to be representative of them. Emotions can run high today, but remember we are talking of Pia, so she would tell us that not to. So with that, I'm going to first start with Reshmi's, simply because she has to drop off in 5 minutes. So and we respect that. So Reshmi, when I reached out to you, you said that you wondered if you're the right person because you said you'd never met Pia. I know that both of you are bakers. Tell me a bit about your interaction with Pia. How did you get to know about her? And tell us.
So I think I first actually reached out to her when one of my friends got married to a Bengali and I wanted to, host a Bengali brunch for them. This was on Bengali New Year. And then I reached out to her and she had come recommended highly by someone, I don't remember who.
I think I don't know.
Yeah, it might have.
I don't remember, but yeah, I think I remember this occasion. Yes.
And this is quite some time back. And that time we had this long discussion and she said, no, if you have this, you must have this. You can't do less. You have to do the entire spiel. And then we sort of, I ordered food from her and we had loved that food. Of course, after eating it, all of us were sort of like walruses because we ate too much and it was rich and it was delicious. And she was very happy, but that was just the beginning. And then we sort of realized that we had a lot of connections. There were a lot of common friends that we knew. One of my friends from college was somebody who sort of stayed with her for years, was a very dear friend's daughter. One of her nephews is a very close friend of mine and my husband's. So we, over time, realized that we had a lot of connection. But I think more than anything else, what really connected us was we were sort of, you know, the old school, both of us were the old school, unreasonable foodies who thought that if you ate food, you had to eat it a certain way. And when I would order from her, and, you know, my guests would not necessarily be like that, right? So we're living in a world where people, they want to eat less and they don't want to eat too many dishes and they want it to be healthy. And she would commiserate with me and say, oh my God, it's just so sad that you have to only offer them that. Or, you know, they'll eat prawns without the head. How is that okay? Or I have to send you crabs that are broken. Oh no, I'm so sorry. Deal with people. So it was, and the thing is that I'd call her. Eventually, I would call her without anything in mind. I just say, you know, Pia, people are coming over and I want to plan something. And then we'd have great fun. We'd talk for hours. It would be absolute, it would make no sense because my husband will come and we'll say, like, this is like 1 o'clock at night. What are you doing? And we would have been speaking for hours just discussing potential ideas for what, you know, she could make. And we just have so much fun. She'd tell me about some recipe she found when she traveled last to Goa, something she ate, and then the details of that recipe versus something else, and then what that could pair with or what something else could pair with. And she was just so incredibly generous, you know, generous with her time, generous with her kindness, just, you know, in terms of the attention she paid you, the attention she paid to what you wanted from her. And really, really generous in terms of the food she sent you, you know, because she just refused to believe that people could only eat so much. I would order X amount and she said, no, that's not okay. You have to offer more. And she would send more food without asking me to pay for it. The other sort of common ground we found is because we are bakers, like you said. And I used to bake a lot of eclairs and a lot of my friends used to really want me to bake those eclairs. And at some point I stopped baking.
And I just have to break in here saying that Kanaz just loves those eclairs of Pia. I know. You Tara, you shared that video of Pia making it, but I don't think we can ever recreate that. So, back to you, Rishi.
I totally agree. I feel like I'm also a little bit of a snob when it comes to eclair and like old school in terms of, you know, the kind of eclair we used to find in our childhood, not the kind of eclair that the French.
And we're not talking about the Cadbury eclair for people who are wondering. I mean, that's the eclair we knew till we came across that.
Correct. I'm talking about old fashioned eclair, which is a pastry stuffed with cream and, you know, glazed with chocolate, dark chocolate. And she's the only other person I would trust. I would say, okay, if I'm not making it, this is the person I could get it from. And I know it will be amazing. And it's only later that I realized that she was intensely allergic to chocolate. And I was aghast. And I was like, why didn't you tell me? Why would you not say that? Why would you? I would just, you know, make it or not order it or get something else from you. But that was Pia. She would just be adamant. And she'd be like, no, if nothing else, I stand at the door. My boys will make it. I will oversee it. She's not supposed to smell it, but she'd want to, you know, stand away and just sort of look at it from a distance and make sure. But obviously, Pia's not the kind of person who would also do things by half measure. So yeah. I would also be worried and I'd say, are you sure you want to do that? You want to taste it? But yeah, I mean, I can't. Now there are so many things that I crave to eat. And I think of like, I would eventually I'd order from her just because I wanted to crave something she made. You know, pork in a certain way or crabs in a certain way or these profiteroles. And I know that forever, I will never be able to look at those dishes and not think of her. And forever, I will crave that flavor, which I know is not just the skill, but it was the essence of her. You know, somebody who had that, because I think the person you are and her generosity and her huge amount of love and passion for food and her joy in interacting with people who love food really came through in what she made and sent. So I know that, you know, for me, that was special. I didn't meet her, but I never felt like I haven't met her. It's very strange. I feel like I know her really, really well. So it's very weird. Like you said, it's very difficult to to come to terms with the idea that.
Yeah, I mean, and the word you use, generous, it sums her up so beautiful, because this profiterole would be loaded with cream, yes, loaded with chocolate. And like, yes, you said, I mean, she had the allergy, but yet, like, for example, if she knew that, you know, say she's sending something to us, or Kanaz is coming, she'll make it a point to make it. In fact, Tara, when she, Tara posted the laundry video of her making the eclairs, then one of the last lines over there is that it's been many years since she's tasted it because of also her blood sugar, and she was making it from memory. Yeah. And that reminded me of, you know, of Beethoven, because, you know, he did his Ninth Symphony and all of this when he couldn't hear. I mean, it's just so amazing. And what you've described, I mean, you know, you've ordered this, but she's sending you this. And that's why I wanted you, Reshmi, to speak, because there must be so many people whom she's not met and yet have this sort of connection. And the other thing is, like, all the connections which you discovered. So, like I said, I mean, here you've got someone who's in her mid-70s, and here we are in our, like, you know, 40s or 30s or 50s or whatever. And we have common connections. Imagine, I mean, we feel old, or at least I do. But yeah. So with this, I'm going to move on to Tara, simply because she also might have to drop off earlier. Though I think the way the adda is jamjamaing, as we say in Bangla, they might not if they didn't have pressing commitments, but I appreciate everyone's joining in. So Tara, you know, you've worked with Pia in Bombay Gym and putting these events together. And now Reshmi's just spoken a bit about being on the receiver side, like the diner, you know, like, you know, of ordering in, or, you know, someone who might have, you know, come to Bombay Gym and sat down to have that meal. But how is it to put that meal together, from, you know, to conceptualize, to plan, to put it together? How is it, Tara? Like, you're from the film industry, and do you think that, you know, working with artists in the food industry can be even more maddening than, you know, the matinee idols?
She was so energetic. It belied her age. You know, you'd never expect this kind of enthusiasm, zest, this kind of intense ability to work long hours. She put us to shame sometimes, you know, and she had such an in-depth perspective. She was so proud of creating dishes that were really authentic, that she would really go into detail. And she was, you know, she would talk to various people to find out how something has to be made. I mean, here was someone who was Bengali, who was by nature non-vegetarian. And she made some of the best Brahmin vegetarian thalis I've ever eaten in my life.
Oh yeah, her Maharashtrian vegetarian food was just amazing. We ordered it again for my family.
Superb.
Oh yeah.
And you know, she did a thali.
And then we did some of the Jewish food there. Once you called us for dinner to your house, and she'd done some Jewish food.
Yes,
also.
Do all the dishes, so yeah. I requested her to do some Baghdadi Jewish recipes for me, which of course she did very well. You know, you ate the food.
Yes.
And so for someone to, you know, do a thali that is so authentically, not just kokanastha, but deshastha, chippavan, saraswan, you know, as I said, it's a real testament to her skill. And she always had a lot of creative ideas. And we had a great team, you know, we all got along really well. And we had a lot of good laughs. And we used to have continuous tasting sessions, because all the food, all the vendors came to the Bombay Gymkhana. We had to sit and taste all their food. And
Bombay Gymkhana, by the way, is like, Tara, just for everyone, it's like the premier club in Mumbai. So it's probably the equivalent of the Bengal club in Calcutta or something like that. So yeah, go ahead. So,
and if you hear Kalyan, all the members complaining and whining, you won't think it's the best club in the world. But anyway, so we'd have to do all these tasting sessions, and there was a lot of stuff she couldn't eat, you know. But just by looking at it sometimes, she could tell, you know, Tara, that's not going to taste like that. You tried and you tell me, am I right? And I tried, and she was always right, you know. She had an instinct, a natural instinct about food. She knew how to put flavors together. She knew how to get that umami into the food that made you want to eat her food again and again. And she was also very helpful to other young chefs, upcoming chefs. She started the regional team at the Bombay Gymkhana Club. And every month we had a chef who specialized in a particular kind of cuisine from India, you know, family recipes, heirloom recipes, coming in to cook for members. So it'd be a Sunday brunch or a Sunday lunch. And they were real eye-openers because we had so many wonderful cuisines, including Manzila, who came to cook some fantastic food for us. And it opened up, you know, this entire culinary repertoire of India to members who otherwise were mostly used to eating either Indian Chinese food, for which the club is well known, or the usual colonial staples, you know, the eggs
kesavar
and the akuri on toast and things like that. So suddenly we had East Indian food coming in, and we had delicious Bengali food and Brahmin thalis. And we all learned a lot because we'd sit and discuss these cuisines. And so we'd have to research to make sure that what we were putting out there for the members was the real thing. And it was such a pleasure, you know. It was a great learning experience. And of course, Pia is, as you said, she's a tornado. She's very opinionated.
Yes.
So, I would always think of like my mom when I was talking to her, because it's like, you don't, you know, you get into this like, no, you can't be right, you can't be right. Oh no, you are right. You know, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
And I'm gonna miss her very
much. And you know, then she wouldn't she wouldn't mind it. Like for example, like, you know, when I was face to face with her, I mean, yeah, you know, you're both Bengali, so you're both opinionated. So, you know, and also what Rashmi was saying about her husband, I remember so many times when she'd call up, and then, you know, 45 minutes later, Kainaz would come and say, you're talking to Pia. So yeah, yeah.
Yes, it was. And you know, I collect antique cookbooks, so she would often come over to read some of them and then give me her opinion on stuff. And I actually, just a few days before she passed away, I was writing an article. And I had called her to get her, you know, I called you too, Kalyan, to get her opinion on something.
The street, yeah.
And,
yeah,
you know, I was amazed like how much she knows. You know, I am a Maharashtrian, and I know a little bit about my own Saraswat food, and I know a little bit about other communities. But you never expect someone who's from Calcutta, who's Bengali, to know this much, you know.
She's a Maharashtrian daughter-in-law.
Yeah,
husband enough. Whom she calls brave, by the way. But no, but jokes apart, her Maharashtrian food, vegetarian, was so good.
Was super.
We called it the week after for, you know, my Kainaz's folks and stuff.
Yeah. And, you know, it's not easy in a country like India where the language changes, not just with every state, but with every couple of kilometers, the dialect changes. Really, it's very difficult to be an expert on so many different regional cuisines, especially if you don't speak the native language. So she's one of those rare people who just got it. And she could cook Chinese food. She could cook. I could ask her for Singapore crab. I could ask her for Nonya cuisine. I could call her up and say, I want Korean food today. She just understood flavor and taste. You know, it's a very rare gift. And she was, I just loved talking to her because she was so knowledgeable. And I can't believe she's gone. You know, she sent me a message just a couple of days before saying, when are you coming to see me? Just a few days before. Let's find a way to get together. I haven't seen everyone on the team for a long time. So I was trying to set it up. And then this happened. So it really hit me quite hard, you know, that sometimes we get so busy in our own lives and we sort of get so wrapped up in our own social media profiles and our whatever kitchens that we're running, that sort of we push things to the back of our minds, and then this happens. One of the things about her was that when you're a community, you know, you care, you must care not just about someone's professional successes, but also how they're doing in person, like how they are. And I think our team had that. We cared about each other very much. And that feeling is something that I'm really going to miss without her there.
So. Yeah. No, I know it's a very tough one. And thank you so much to each of you for coming and sort of speaking. Because as you were talking, like, you know, I could feel the goosebumps. Because, like, for example, when Pia would say that she's sending smoked salmon, it's salmon which she smokes herself, you know, I mean, smokes it up. And and says it. And I mean, like you said, I mean, our own lives, I don't think the last 2 years have been easy on anyone. Like I said, I mean, I regret not, I knew she was unwell and just next door, but we can sort of this thing or see how to sort of celebrate our memories. But I think both Reshmi and you have, beautifully brought alive what she was. Reshmi, I'm going to ask you just one quick question because I'm not sure if I might not have you later. Is there something from her life or your interaction with her which you'd like to sort of take with you in the time ahead? It's a very end of the interview sort of question, but Reshmi, you're on mute.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah. I'm not the anchor who mutes people.
I just muted myself because I didn't want the household noises.
Yeah, I'm not that person from the east of India.
Okay, then. Tara touched upon one thing about her, which is that it just, like you said, that there was almost like a 4-decade age gap or 3-decade age gap between me and Pia. And maybe the fact that I never, met her in person made it easier for me to not remember that. But it just did not exist, that difference. And I think that is simply because she just continued to have so much zest and passion invested in every moment of every single thing she did. And, I remember her saying that, and you spoke about smoked salmon, and that's what brought it back to me, because last time I spoke to her and, I said, how are you feeling? And she said, I can't eat this, I can't eat that, I'm completely off liquids, and there are a bunch of things I can't eat. And I think longingly about my smoked salmon, and I was saying, okay, eat this, eat that. And she said, no, fat, I'm not allowed to eat, but don't worry, Reshmi, I have enough fat in my body to last me a lifetime. And then she said that if I can't eat my favorite things, then I don't think I would want to continue to live. Or she said something to that extent. But just this intense desire and celebration of life. And in a very childlike way, and she was very eccentric and absolutely unapologetic about her eccentricity. She didn't take to somebody, she didn't take to them. I have friends who ordered from her and it didn't go well, and she'd get angry with them and they'd get angry with her, and food would not reach, or she would decide to not send it in the last minute or whatever, and they would have a fallout and all kinds.
I didn't know that.
Oh boy. Rishi, it's hard to believe listening to you that you haven't met her, because all the things you're saying about her are so true and so right.
She still remains friends with
her. Yeah, and it just shows you that it's that food connection. It's the food connection.
Food connection, absolutely.
Absolutely. And you know, Kalyan, before I beg off, I just want to say one thing before I beg off, which is that, I feel that in her lifetime, Pia never got the kind of credit for her contributions that she deserved to have got. One time we were talking on the phone and she said to me, they all want these glamorous young people, doing these shows and on their, they want to call them on the dais to talk and on panels. They never call me. And I remember how terrible I felt about that. Because really, we are living in a world where how things look are more important than the content. And that is so wrong, because eventually it's content that takes you forward, that helps you to progress. So I remember when I listened to this, of course, I said, what nonsense, Pia, you just don't get out enough. And
she was such a larger than life personality. I mean, she was made for television.
You will know. When you watch video, you watch that video, Kalyan, you
where she didn't speak. Where she didn't speak on camera.
Yeah, I mean, she would be wonderful.
That little blink she gave at the end. The little son of,
She would be wonderful. And so I remember then I used to constantly call her, asking for her opinion on things, for articles I was doing, or, if I had to go on a panel and things like that. But I do feel that's why I'm so happy to hear that, they're doing this book and that this book will come out. And I think that she really, really, you know, we have examples like this in the Indian culinary history of chefs who contributed very quietly, you know, behind the scenes, and never sort of were in the public eye, so to speak. So I'm so happy you're doing this chat, Kalyan, because it's very important for us to catalog people's contributions, to give them their fair due, you know, and to sort of recognize everything they've done, not just because it's important because they did it, but because as you, I've always considered you to be the father of food blogging, you know, in this country.
Oh God, sorry.
Seriously. you know, you are cataloging things for the future. So all these little, these stops along the road, you know, where special things have been achieved, first time things have been done, it's important for us to catalog them and not just have them only in memory.
True. No, I think, thank you. I mean, that's a very good point. And I think all of us are also learning. I mean, everyone's done stellar work here, also cataloging in different ways. I think we're all learning, you know, sometimes it's down the way there are some regrets. But I think Pia would have said that, I think it's more a question of what we can do going ahead. Okay, I'm going to take a little mini break because I think Nimki wants to go out, my cat, and windows are shut.
I'm going to beg off. I've listened to what Manzilat and Anindya have to say because, you guys have such a breadth of knowledge and you knew so well, and I apologize that I have to leave, but I will watch the whole thing when we puts it together. Thank you so much, guys, for letting me go.
Thanks, Sarah.
Take care.
Thank you. Thank you. And
care,
please
guys.
Be in touch. Okay, Nimki, you're joining us, is it? Okay, maybe he's settled down. Okay, so, thanks so much, Sarah.
I'm going to beg off as well, and I really don't feel like because I want to hear so much more about Pia, and you know, and I'm so glad you're doing this, Kalyan. It gives one opportunity to, you know, take a moment off. And in this life, when there are 500,000 things to do, we don't often get the time to just take a moment and think about what somebody has contributed to, you know, to your own life and the world around you, and things that matter. And it's given me the time to, ever since we started talking about it, it's given me, you know, a couple of days to think about her, reminisce, and just cause me to pause. You know, sometimes we don't do that deliberately because it's easier to not pause. So it sort of made me do that. So thanks a lot for doing this. I will definitely also be looking forward to the longer session. I'm sorry I can't be here longer.
No, that's absolutely fine. Thanks for joining us. And Rishmi, like you said, I mean, you might be away because you're not blogging, but we can all of us can connect, and this is just a start. I mean, you've already met four new people.
Yes, it's been wonderful meeting all of you as well.
So it was an unintentional Bombay first and then Calcutta night. but okay, bye. I'm just going to take a little pause to let her. It was not meant to be a Mumbai and Calcutta chapter, but it's happened that way. But I just feel so privileged and fortunate that people agreed at short notice to come on board. And I'm going to take the conversation in the natural flow because in a way, Rishmi sort of represented people who are the customers, so to speak, of Pia's food endeavors. Tara is someone who's worked with her. And now Tara was speaking of the chefs whom, Pia was sort of encouraging, promoting, showcasing, working with. And we have the good fortune to know many of them, and many of them have been Foodocracy for Her veterans. So I had no second thought about reaching out to Manzilat. I mean, first of all, first person I reached out to, and she said yes. So Manzilat, tell us about your experience with Pia and the event which she was talking of. I'm sure it's the story started way before the event, but I know it's a very difficult time for you to this thing. But thanks for agreeing to talk with us.
No, not a problem. I can say that I've been very, very fortunate to have connected with PM, though it was from her side who came to me first when I was in Calcutta. She called me one day and then she asked me that, "I've heard a lot about you. Tell me something about yourself. Who are you? What are you doing?" Like that, you know? Like, she was like that, very straightforward.
That must have been surprising to you, Manzila, because that was the time I remember, you know, when the headlines were like, you know, the granddaughter of the Nawab and all of, because then things settled down and, you know, then it was like, you know, you came into your own bios, your own identity started happening. But at that time, like, there was a lot of, and suddenly to have someone calling you up and say, "Who are you?" must have been.
Yeah. So it was quite befitting for someone like her asking me, "Who are you? Like, how come suddenly you have popped up from out of nowhere?" So it was great, because later on also I did some homework on Pia. I didn't know her so much also. Then she told me that, "Can you come to Bombay? I would like to do a pop-up with you in my house." So I was very surprised how to do a pop-up in a house. I've never done it in my own house. So how can I do it in somebody else's house in some other city? So she made me very comfortable. She said that, "No, it's nothing very different, because I keep doing that in my house, and you can come and try. If you don't have a place to stay, I can, you know, my house is there for you." So that was the kind of graciousness that she always put across anybody she was in connection with. So I said, no, my children are there. I have a house to stay, but I really don't know how to go about it. Anyway, that's how it started. And she created a pop-up, and I could see that at her age, she was more tech savvy than what I am at my age. Like, we have a difference of, say, 20, 22 years. But I felt she was much smarter and more multitasking than I could be, you know, in terms of creating artwork for a pop-up.
Hey, she can come stuff. In. Madhushi, who's that? Is that Bishti or Bishti? She can join if she wants. Hi, Bishti. We got future photography for her star. Bishti joining in. Yeah. Yes.
So when she planned that pop-up at her place, Anand Court, I was very nervous and excited also. Excited because that was the first of a kind in Bombay. It was like kind of a launch for me there.
Yes.
And I was very nervous because she is the ultimate a home chef could look up to. And I was wondering if she would really appreciate what I'm doing, or, you know, endorse the recipes that I'm going to cook in front of her, literally. So, but then she made me very comfortable, and
how did she make you comfortable? Because like you said, I mean, new city, Bombay, doesn't know much about Awadhi or Calcutta Awadhi cuisine. You're cooking from someone's home, someone you don't know. So is it possible to describe, like, how she sort of
situated? She made me comfortable because suddenly she made me feel that you are master of your food.
Okay.
As I am master of so many other things. So you have to tell me what you want, how you want. And this is my kitchen. These are my utensils. You have to use these for your this thing. And if you want, I can get you some more from wherever you want. And she went to the extent of taking me to the marketplace to choose my own meat. She took me to the butcher. She took me to the beef wala. And she used to love my nahari like anything.
Even so, all of us do.
Yeah, and she kept teasing me for my masalas, that, "What are you doing? Let me see. You have to give me your secret masalas and all that." So she that way, she made me very comfortable, as in she was not nosy at all. She used to sit in her living space and tell her boys to help me in whichever way I was wanting my work to be done. But she never tried to come and peep over my shoulder and see, "Okay, what are you doing?" like that. But she kept teasing me, "Before you leave, please leave all your secret masalas with me." And
did you?
I will
did
ask, you? And I'll ask, yes, of course. And I will ask my boss the process that you followed, which I knew that she was just doing, you know, to make
she never did that. She never did that.
She never did that. And
I will say, Manjula, that what you said right now, and Madhushree and Anindya will agree, that she seems like a creative person's dream, because she's hired you or whatever, given you the assignment because she believes in you. Then she steps back. So she says that, you know, you're the person. Now whether you're like a writer or a YouTuber or like Anindya and Madhushree are doing some fabulous work with restaurants and so on, with professional food photography. I mean, somewhere to say that, okay, I recognize your talent and that's why I've hired the two of you to take and make my, thing look appealing. But now, you know, I'm going to sit back. I mean, yeah, and for someone who herself is so passionate, that's a lovely thing.
Yes, I would say a lot when the turn comes in, but
we all talk as and when.
In the last few years, we have really come across an apologetic client.
Yeah.
If I can in that way, right?
Yeah.
She would show you the path. That was, I think that's what's the essence of a mentorship. She would show you the path. If you are not doing right, she would guide you.
Oh, Pia.
Right.
And then she would say that, sorry, and in her own words, you can imagine, all of us, we know the way she would say, sorry, being a pain in the wrong area. I don't want to harass you guys. I'm really sorry if I'm making you do this so many times, but it has to be right. There are assignments which teaches you a lot, right?
Yes.
This assignment working with PRD on perhaps one of the gold standard book of Bengali cuisine has made us learn a lot. Also, the way she would look at things, which normally we would overlook, and she would say that these are the way things are to happen and everything, right? We will come to that later.
That's a very good point, and that's what I was in fact thinking, because both of you, as in you and Madhushree and Manzilat, in your own ways, have had opportunities to work with us. And also Manzilat, like, so one was the thing where you worked with her home, and then the Bombay Gym thing, which was like, you know, yes, the top level clients. The members of the who's who of Bombay, and this thing.
Yeah,
how was
she
that?
Was like a godmother to me. She was like a godmother to me. She was introducing me to the elite of Bombay Gym.
It's an absolute who's who of Bombay. Yeah.
Yes, even for my pop-up, which she did at her residence, I had people like Farzana, I had people like Rushina, I had Smita, and Sheetal Kakkar, and so many home chefs whom I didn't know that time. They were all new to me, and I was cooking and serving them just because they came because Pia told them that she's
I was not in
me.
Town that time. Yeah.
No, that was like, that's why I say that she's my mentor. And that is how she launched me in Bombay. And I got so much of attention and mileage from there on. Like twice I did my pop-up at her residence. And twice I've been to Bombay Gym. And never, like she has helped me most unconditionally, most selflessly, never asking for anything in return, not even a mention anywhere. She just does what she wanted to do, but she won't ever expect anything back from you. That is what I have seen from her. And also,
and she didn't even know you. She didn't even know you till,
she didn't even know.
And yet,
she never wanted any kind of recognition. She never wanted any kind of attention through me. So that was the best part. You know, that's the reason why I love her so much, why I respected her so much. And when she came to Kolkata for the first time after, I started my home dining space, I have the photos. She couldn't walk up the stairs, but she made it a point to come. She came to Manzilat's. She waited down in the car. She got up, she just saw the building from downstairs. And she said, sorry, Manzilat, I cannot climb the stairs, otherwise I would have come. I'm sorry.
No, I can completely understand. I can completely understand. Yeah. And I can assure you that even though she couldn't physically climb up the stairs, but her love and blessings climbed up the stairs with you, and they're going to be with you always. You know, they're going to be always.
That is how she conveyed to me. That is how she conveyed through her gesture that she was there with me. She has been there. She has guided me to start my home dining space. And from her small house in Bandra, I learned that lesson that it's only food and good food that will attract people. It doesn't have to be very lavishly done. It doesn't have to be very gorgeously made. Only the food should taste good and people will walk up three floors and they will walk up hills. So that is what she taught me. And she has been recommending me while being in Bombay. She used to order my food for her sister Rakhi on her birthday or anybody, any special person who's traveling from Dubai. She used to order that, no, you must make this person taste your food. I want this one to taste your food. And she has been doing that. The last I spoke to her was last week. I was very concerned, and Pravda told me that she's just back from ICU. And I called her, she couldn't talk much. So I just had to talk to Pravda because that was the last conversation I had.
Thank you so much, Manzila. That's why I said I know it's really.
I knew I would.
No. But you know, you showed the same sort of bravery which, you know, Pia showed all her life, and that's why she called her husband brave, though it's Barve. But this is it's really your bravery and your love. You know, in return to hers, which I know it was really, I put a lot of pressure on you by asking you to come, but thank you for coming and talking, because, you know, I mean, these are facets which people need to know about her, and you know, different dimensions. And I must tell you one thing, that if I mean, you've had a lot of well-deserved acclaim, and you know, whenever I go to Calcutta, I mean, I want to have biryani straight away, message you. But I'm saying that to get Pia's, you know, for Pia to recommend you to people are things you can, write, keep as engraved in gold in your memory. But it's a tough time. She's, she's left so many lives empty. But
she needs to be concerned about her legacy, whether it will be carried forward or not.
I know. No, in fact, we'll get to know a bit about what her son Rishit and Rishit were planning to do it. But I must say that, you mentioned it, Tara's mentioned it, and all of us who've known her knows the fact that, there was a certain complexity or she was a troubled soul at a certain level, but that's what makes her human, right? I mean, if we all pretend to be like perfect, the nicest of people or most peaceful or make the best food, then we're not relatable. But it's our little, the little infirmities which make us human. So, I mean, all of us know this angst, and we've all felt it in our own ways, in our own lives, that are we being appreciated? But Pia, hopefully you'll watch this and share and subscribe and like and recommend it to the people upstairs. But I think this will tell you, and so many other messages and videos and everything coming out, articles, that you were very, very well appreciated and love.
Yes.
And with that, in fact, I'm going to ask Arinda and Madhushi, who have been patiently waiting, to talk to us about her last project, and which they were working with her.
and how that's going to actually, in a way, take Pia's legacy ahead. Over to you guys.
So we've been in touch with, I think we are one of the few people, I don't even know if you are probably, who actually call her PRD and not PR, and she's okay with it.
So like she happened to you, or she you encountered her, it was by chance encounter with me first. I had written something about QPs, and all of a sudden in Facebook, all of a sudden a chat messenger opened up that, do you know even what QPs is all about? In a trademark way, here is Pia, and then she shared about her and everything. I remember calling her ma'am, and she said, oh ma'am, just forget it, okay. Call me Pia Di or Pia at best, right? In fact, Rishit also always used to call her Pia,
yeah.
Not even mom. There is a nice story, and she shared with her. It's very emotional when you get to work on a book by QP Dasgupta, who is being considered as one of the gold standard in Bengali cuisine and Bengali recipe book, right? And through Piyadi in her last days. So we literally have been in touch with her on a regular basis. There have been times when I have called.
So tell us a bit about this project first, so that we get, I mean, yeah. All of us are discovering, even I discovered in the WhatsApp chat group I've created for this.
Yeah.
It was just one of the days, I think in last year, in November or December, I just pinged her, you know, I just to ask her how she's doing, and because I've not been seeing her on Facebook that much, because all of a sudden she was off Facebook.
Yeah, she had a couple of heart attacks early this year.
No, this is much before that.
Even before that, okay.
This is November, December.
That, yeah.
I think just after Diwali after Vijaya, we were
so
wishing.
So then she said that, no, I'm just off social media. I don't feel like going. I don't feel like doing that. But I'm busy. I'm in Goa. And
yeah, she was in Goa, yes.
Yeah. So I'm working on this book, you know, my mother's book.
I will take this opportunity to show this.
Please.
Which is there.
Yeah.
The last copy, it's still written, published by Jaya Chalia, 1 Sunny Park, Calcutta.
So the original, this is the original.
Yeah, this is the last original copy, which is, this
first,
is Piyadi's copy.
Piyadi's
the first Piyadi's copy.
So she couriered it to you guys?
Yes. Yeah. Please. And it's written the classic presentation.
Ito, you're reading it? Otherwise, okay, fine. Later you. No, read it. Read
the classic
it. Sorry,
presentation of a traditional Bengali meals.
Hmm.
Right? And she couriered it. It's written in memory of my mother, Shantilata Ghosh, who taught me to appreciate my heritage. QP Dasgupta writes, I dedicate this book to my husband and my children, Pia Promina, Chandradeep, and Rakhi Purnima, my severest critics and greatest admirers. So we all can understand that how close this project was with her, and we feel honored.
So is this like a new edition? She's
yes, this book has gone out of print.
It's gone out of print, and they had lost all the photographs. You know, the original printer, they didn't have it. And Rishit wanted this legacy to be alive. Rishit wanted this to...
Rishit's a PR son. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
He wanted, you know, to carry this forward and have another version of it in a more modern way with a modern approach, so that it appeals to the current generation with, you know, new photographs and things like that. So as she was discussing it, I just said that, Piyadi, why, you know...
We had already done two cookbooks.
Yeah, so you guys must follow the Pichanama page on Instagram, Twitter, everything, because it's just amazing over the last 2 years, the diversity of work which they're doing. I mean, on the one hand with restaurants, with chefs like Vikramjeet, then the cookbooks, and of course the YouTube channel where they're showing Bengali food in a way modern generation will appreciate. But that's important. Yes, go ahead.
Yes, so... I told her, Piyadi, you know, it's Bengali food. First of all, it's Bengali food. You have the, you pass on the recipes to me. I know my food. I know to cook.
I think we got a little bit carried away at that point of time, because carried away in the sense that I think we had literally offered her that you don't need to, you know, the things which happen, that you get to do a net practice with Sachin Tendulkar. You say, you need not do anything, just take me in. I want to breathe that air.
To be part of this project, I don't care.
Because it's like a lifetime stamp on you that you get to be a part of this project where the entire Dasgupta family, QPs, gets involved, and it's a book of Meenakshi Dasgupta. We started the words, and finally, luckily, it was all her good wishes also, things fell in place. But before that, a lot of interactions used to happen with Piyadi and me, and I was just going through the chat. I think she would kill me for, I'm sure she's listening, she would kill me. She is the fun one, fun aunt, which we always used to have in our life, right? You want
like a PC,
I know your show doesn't admit few things, but you want to bum off a white stick, you know, or you want to bribe your aunt to take you for a glass of beer or something. Piyadi is always, okay, come and join me in Goa. We will have beer and maj bhaja.
And especially a Bengali aunt, I think.
Yeah. Yes, yes. She was a fun aunt. I was in Italy for World Slow Food Conference. All of a sudden, a message comes. Which part of Italy you were in? What are you doing there? Did you know that I was also a part of it? It started from Calcutta. And then I was going through it. She apparently had made some 4 kgs of labra in Goa. And she was saying is that if I make 4 kgs of labra in Goa at my house also, everyone loves it and everyone will wipe it off. But let me remind you, I am a shortcut Rani.
She would say. So she would admit to being shortcut Rani. On social media, everyone will say, no. You go to the khet and get the chili and let it ripen.
Yes.
Then you grind it. Then you take it out. Then you squeeze the shorsha seeds to make your shorsha.
Yes. Bread.
What are you saying? Pressure cooker and powder and all
yes.
of that.
Yes. And that works.
You know what I'm saying, right?
Yeah.
Vanjilat, you know what I'm saying.
We will tell you. We will tell you. We will come to a chapter to that. But then there are a lot of places where she had said that I am a shortcut Rani, and very rarely we find this wisdom coming to people. Perhaps only the ones who are very, very self-assured that they can pull on a joke on themselves. Right? She used to do that. She used to say that, let me give you one more granny advice. And these are all the things you're discussing about kosha mangsu and khichdi. My khichdi is like that. Your khichdi would be like this. You should add on sugar. These are the granny advices and stuff like that. Right?
Arindo's, of course, world famous for his kosha mangsu, which he did during the pandemic.
Yeah. So from there, the connection started. Incidentally, we met Piyadi at Sunny Park in Bali, in Queen's Park. In Baliganj, which is again one of the most posh areas of Calcutta.
She of course, yeah.
Meal for us, I still remember.
And it's an unforgettable meal, Kalyan. I mean, now when I'm hearing everyone, I'm like, I wish I was in Bombay and I wish I had eaten.
Hi. How are you? You've got a little friend here. Wait, let me show you. Let me show you who's come to see you. Can you see him?
Look at.
No, that is Baby Loaf. Dinky's outside that window trying to come in. That is Baby Loaf. So
it was at Queen's Park, and she had cooked up a complete Bengali meat, chitol maach, and trust me, Kolan, I have never had such delicious chitol maach peti.
Wow. Ooh.
Chol ever. It was so good. And I still remember she after the meeting into the room, and she's like, I've got to hide and smoke, you know. I don't want anyone to cook.
And this was a...
she was with family, is it?
Yes.
Yeah, this was a point of fight between her and me always, like a very caring nephew of hers every time has to pick up the phone and ask that, have you reduced? Please shut it, forget it, and let's talk something else, right?
For that matter, you know, once she was out of the hospital the first time, Rishit had sent us message to everyone.
That please don't tell her.
Do not tell her about not smoking, because if you do, then she will smoke more.
To make it a point.
Because she was one of those firebrand women who was never ready to hear no. Right.
Yeah. I mean, she's so archetypal. She's so archetypal Kolkata, you know, South Calcutta, Jadavpur.
You know, I would like Jadrel Mohila, wale na Jadrel Mohila.
Okay.
She was in such a great, great way.
But with a large, I must take this opportunity over here to share that it was very, very emotional. The day we heard the news, we had literally shut ourselves off from social media. We didn't
walk. I can imagine. I was keeping
very close touch with her ailment, how she is, and when we can plan the next shoot, right? It's it's sad, Rishit. Next morning we called up Rishit and I had an hour long chat, right? It was just last few chapters were left. Rest all were approved. She was very, very critical, and in the sense that she was very, very critical, yes, yet she was very, very positive about what picture and how they should look. But what Rishit said was very, very important in this sense when we are celebrating the human as well as the food, that when it was her funeral, right, from her mechanic to her pork supplier to an ex-RBI deputy governor, to her cigarette supplier, to chicken supplier, to Rishit's friends, everyone came in. So Priyadi touched lives in so many people that everyone remembered, and they came in. That showed. And Rishit said that everyone is asking me about Chautha and everything. I said that forget it. Pia would have never loved it. What I would do is that we are planning that we would do a grand meal. And we will call the friends and close relatives. And for a change, which was my point of fight with Pia every time, that she would always cook more than one can consume, we will cook loads and loads of food dishes to celebrate her. You know,
I think that's such a beautiful point which you brought alive, because sometimes, you know, when we interact with each other, and because the show is called Foodocracy, we think of maybe food and all of that, but the thing is that we're all human beings, and there's so many aspects, and the fact to be able to and thanks for sharing this. I mean, I was with Viral, so I couldn't go there, but I can just imagine the scene, and the fact that, I mean, like what Reshmi spoke of, Manzilat, Tara, that she was so generous in giving,
right?
In whether it's giving food or giving ideas or giving hope,
everything. Giving
yeah. encouragement.
And again, there are occasions, there are WhatsApp and Messenger chats where she, at her age, with her experience, she never hesitated twice to even ask things from me. Mm. All of a sudden, she would ask, where do I get original Gondhuraj? I said that, what is original Gondhuraj? He said that, she said that, the one that you get in Pashchim Bongo. That was... of humor. She would say that, what would you do with prawn? Suggest me a recipe. I have got these 3 kilos of prawn which I've got from Bombay to Goa, and I'm thinking of some not to do Malai curry or something. Yes, these are all the incidental chats which would happen.
No, I would have her chats about her childhood in Kolkata, and
yes.
Then she would say things about, you know what, you know, while we were growing up, we never had luchi and
thought.
Our Sundays were brunches.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like a gala brunch of, you know, liver pate and roasts and, you know, all kinds of fancy stuff, which in those days we couldn't even think of. You know, for us it was only in storybooks. But that kind of
enlightened books. Okay, I'm just going to pause for a second, because Nimki is going to have a heart attack, otherwise he's trying to come in from the box window with the. So we are back. I've let Nimki in, and I see that we've gone well beyond the time which I told everyone. But that's really what an Adda at PR space would be.
I also have to say
many things.
One more thing.
And Anindu, you're going to keep quiet. This is Foodocracy for her.
You will let
her speak.
But we are celebrating a woman, right? Yeah.
Yeah, but it's women.
So, you know, one more thing I have to say. No matter what, you know, even though, okay, there was a schedule on a day, we would take these photos, she would be so considerate, because she would know that, you know, I've got 2 children also at home.
Okay.
And she would be so considerate, like, are you sure you can do this? Are you sure, you know, the kids are well settled? Because, you know, as you feed them and you make sure they're well settled, only then we'll start. She's so concerned about it, and she would always ask.
That is true. Even I agree whenever I visited Anandpur, that was, you know, her house was the only place where I could commute alone, like take a cab from Warsaw and come to Bandra alone. And most of the times she made it a point to book Ola for me at her expense, and make sure that she is tracking where I'm reaching. And then she call me and say, you have reached, no, your children are okay now, fine, happy, like that. And she was really concerned. She always packed food for my children. She made eclairs for them innumerable times. Right. When I was going to Goa once, when Aman was in Goa, she made a special cake, Praline. It was full of nuts. It was the most amazing cake. I'll share the photo on Facebook very soon. Yes. That cake, she made amazing cake and the eclair. But you know, I've had innumerable meals at her place while I was cooking for my pop-up. She used to cook meals for me. Yeah. And the best part, you know, the best take from her meals was, apart from the food and the taste of the food, her boys used to sit with us. She was always, she said, I always eat with my boys. I don't have that thing in my mind. They are helping me in the kitchen, so they will eat in the kitchen. It's nothing like that. We used to sit together in one table and eat our meals. Mostly it was lunch and very late dinners.
And I completely agree. And you would not even think that they are her helpers or whatever. Like, you know, when you go to her house, I mean, I completely agree.
And when Parvati was very sick, her female helper, she used to be very concerned because Parvati had probably served her mother also. So she was very attached to the helpers.
Arindu, any famous last words before I ask you guys the last question?
Must talk about the smoked tilsa.
Yeah, but
smoked tilsa. Yes, yes, yes.
Yeah.
Why just smoked salmon? Why not smoked salmon? Smoked tilsa.
You can speak about your pop-up experience when you were gone.
So when we were in Bombay for the mustard pop-up, you know, that time her husband was not well, so she couldn't come for the pop-up. But she called and she said that, I want to taste her food. Can you just send so-and-so? You know, she ordered some stuff. And I still remember that she liked the, the chingri, kumro chingri hat pite so much, that when she came here to Queen's Park, she told all her cousins about my food. And she told them that, you know what, whenever you want to order food, you order from her. You know, she's a fantastic...
Can you imagine? Wow. You
must order from her. She's a fantastic cook. So,
these are like so much of things about a person who was so self-assured that we take out from the, or like the entire discussion today we had for an hour, we can see that at any point of time, right, she has never held back herself in promoting someone who is genuinely doing a
good job. Both of you, I mean, Manzilat and Madhushree, I mean, both of you are, live examples of people.
Which is so rare that she has gone ahead, she has promoted and stuff like that, right? Last interactions.
In fact, I must say, sorry to interrupt you for a second, that I must say that in the last few days or the week, there have been quite a few instances of people messaging me about her passing away or the cremation and all that. And then saying that and these are people whom I didn't know, but they said that we thought you should know because she would always speak very fondly of you and very highly of you. And that's what I'm saying. I mean, you guys have all been in touch with her over the last, period. I've not been actually, but
so we have been in the sense that
out of hospital.
No, but I'm saying that despite that,
I mean, and she was so full of spirit, Colin. Last time, we would tell her that, Piyati, take rest. You get better. Then we will start working. No. I need to work. If I don't work, I'll feel terrible.
Literally, in a sweet way, like a mama bear bulldozed her doctors, right? Rishit always used to say that if Pia is shouting or harassing her doctors, that and means nurses. That is a nurses, nurses. That means that she's well. Recovering, right? But her doctors fell in love with her. There is this young chap which Rishit was sharing that he was in Italy and he kept checking with Rishit that how is Pia? And they used to give time to her, right? Last I remember that we had left her a message that I personally, because I had a personal connect with her, she had her own personal connection. I said that Piyadi, come back soon. We love you a lot. I am missing you around and all the stuff, right? This was just before 10 days, I think, before a week before when we had our last interaction over a shoot. And that would be the final sum up story for me, which will always be etched in our mind. We were smoking smoked tilsa, right?
Okay. As in the smoking, as in the food way of smoking it. No, it is called smoking.
we were shooting
smoking the Elish. Yeah, it's right? Not this way for non-food people. That's
so we were shooting Smoke Hilsa. We had got the Hilsa. Somehow the color and everything was not up to her.
Of the raw Hilsa or it was
raw Hilsa. No, and other things that I told Piyadi right in the beginning that Piyadi, I have never smoked and deboned a Hilsa before. I have just Bengali recipes. I've never done this, so yeah. You will need to handhold me for this. You know, every step of the way, I'm going to we're going to figure out how to do this. And she explained the whole thing to me. She sent me a voice note also with the explanation on how to do it. The recipe was with me. Still, she explained it and how to exactly debone it. She told me everything in detail. Right after that, only she went to the hospital.
And for some strange reason, we struggled on that for quite a lot, quite a good period of time. And then came that famous thing where we wanted to take a break. And I knew that if I say that taking a break and everything, she might get offended. She was also aiming, right? So I sent her a voice message that, Piyadi, ami khabar khabo, please allow me to take a break. And it was evening. That was Piyadi, which will be etched in my mind. She sent me a voice message, and as I had written on my Facebook post, like college friends, we started exchanging voice message notes. She said that, what is the jol khabar? I am
are you eating at the break? Was the jol khabar?
So my jol khabar was as usual, some chops and cutlets, right? So Piyadi said is that I love my chicken wings, but I don't like this from KFC. And she went on, and then she said, started discussing about Chandan Nagar. She said that, you know, when we were kid, we were said that not to have tele bhaja. Tele bhaja is very bad. But have you learned French in your school since you are from Chandan Nagar? So we had such a close discussion. She said that we were taught in our school to say Shadanagar, in short, Shandy. Do you call it Shandy or Chandanagar?
I didn't know this.
Conversation we had. And then in the hospital, she told Rishit, she sent a voice note also. Guys, I'm really sorry. I harassed you on that day. Why are we breaking even our head on this? Go to Bengal Club or go to Mokambo, pick up a steamed. Pick up a smoke pizza, shoot it, and then in her own PR touch, she said that, and then please enjoy the food. Don't let it go waste. I would love to get your feedback how they're making it now. That is Piyadi.
Yeah. So Madhushi, my invite from both of you to your house is, you've been inviting me. It's never just been worked out. Can I expect some smoked hilsa? I'll talk to you. Yeah. Yes. And no worries. I will no comparison with what Pia would make. I think whatever you guys will make will be like a gift of love from Pia. Manzilat, any closing thoughts which you would like to? You've been listening to the whole thing, and anything which you would like to sort of highlight. Any memory or anything further which you from what you've shared? Anything you'd want to tell Pia which you've not?
Whatever I am today as a home chef, I owe a lot to Pia, and she knew it because I kept telling her this and she kept saying, you don't say this, it's because you cook so well, you are where you are today. But I kept telling her, I feel good that at least I could tell her. And there are people who should have told her when she was around, rather than, saying things about her now that she's not here. You need to appreciate people when they are still around and not regret later. I did my bit. I have appreciated her. She knew I loved her lots. I'll always love her.
So I think that's it's a very I think it's a very pertinent point which you've made, and I think that's something which we are all feeling in our own lives, this has been a tough time, and people have lost near and dear ones, and one often feels that after the passing away is when the feelings come and are expressed, but why is it not expressed before? So Pia, I hope that
you're realizing that how much, I won't say you were, but I'm saying how much you are loved. You know, they were talking about you as this, you know, this friendly aunt. So I know that I've also been like this dunpite maybe, or mischievous or difficult to sort of this thing nephew. We've had our moments, we've had our disagreements, we've had this thing. We've not been in touch in the last few months. Whatever be the reasons, but that aside, I think that going ahead, it's really about celebrating your memories and your memories stay alive in Manzilat's biryani and the future pop-ups, which you know, Tara might do with Home Chefs at the Bombay Gym or elsewhere, or in the photographs which Anindo and Modushree take, and hopefully the smoke delish and the and Chitol Machir Peti, which they're going to feed me when I meet them, or every time, like, you know, Reshmi thinks of, orders crab and then thinks of this person who would send an overabundance of it. You will be there in the memory of many, and you know, our best wishes to Brave and to Rishit, and we're looking forward to the book. So thank you, thanks, and for those who are watching, like, if you have memories, please sort of put it in the comments column, because, you know, it's really about remembering Pia in all our own ways, and this is the small attempt. So thank you, Manzila, thank you, Modushree, Anindo, yeah. Thank you, Tara, Reshmi, for being there, and thanks for watching. And as as the book says,
fantastic.
Thank you. And as the book says, I mean, so long, and thanks for all the fish.
We can't wait for the book to come out also. Yes.
No, I'm saying the book, so long, and thanks for all the fish. I think it's a sort of thing to someone who fed us Elish. I think she was the one who first fed me Elish with Tetul and the smoked salmon and whatnot. All the best for your book. And Manzilat, I'm sure that the orders which went out today from you, and which is why you took a few minutes to join us, would taste even that much more special. And don't worry, I'm pretty sure that even if she's physically not climbed up, she has been to the third floor.
Yes.
Yes.
Of course she is.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
And Pia, we all miss you. Thank you.